Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. My guest with us today is Megan Scanlon, Chief Executive Officer at the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence. We've spoken with her before, although it's been a while since we've gotten an update, and they have a timely event that we're also going to be talking about, too. Megan, welcome back onto the show. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, let's start off by talking about the event, which we can talk about a few times in our conversation today. That would be the third annual Domestic Violence Awareness Day, and it's happening at Duncan Park. You know, they put on so many great events there, and this is one of the ones that has a strong cause behind it. Kind of give us a background, how you ended up partnering with Duncan Park on this.
Yeah, so about 3 years ago, we connected with the Yard Goats. They've been a great partner, have similar values as us in terms of wanting to educate you know, the folks that come and attend the Yard Goats games and being a real community partner. So we were able to actually partner with them and have some advertising in the bathroom stalls for our statewide domestic violence hotline. That was our first way that we partnered. And then we launched this awareness day where we get to take over the park. We have really fun handouts. We have, you know, survivors that are often attend with their kids. So it's a really fun day, really in the spirit of educating people about the fact that if they are experiencing family or intimate partner violence, that we have a statewide hotline called CT Safe Connect that can get them connected to services.
Now, you're going to be getting in front of a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of interest in the game in particular because this is the final home game of their regular season coming up this Sunday, September 7th. But also, I would note that there's been so much attendance recently increasing at the ballpark. The last time I was there, there was hardly an empty seat. So with this outreach that you're doing, you know, you're going to have so many people that might be coming up to you, might be looking for at least some casual information, maybe for them or for somebody else. So what's the strategy there? How do you kind of deal with the number of people that you might be seeing?
Yeah, well, we have a great team. So it's ourselves. And then we also have three of our Greater Hartford member programs that provide direct domestic violence services. So Interval House, the Network to End Domestic Abuse in Enfield, and then Prudence Crandall Center in New Britain. So we'll have an entire team across the ballpark that will be handing out information that can certainly, if somebody has an immediate issue, can connect them to services right then and there. But I think the biggest value for us is that we want to educate people so that if and when something happens, they know where to turn either themselves or their loved ones to. That's one of the biggest things that we find in terms of barriers is often people don't know that there are free and confidential services out there. And we want people to know that and to be able to understand that they can take advantage of those regardless of income or background.
As for the event itself, before we talk more about those programs and also how we're heading into Domestic Violence Awareness Month in a few weeks, that's October, just give people an idea, where do they need to be? Where do they find you if they go to the ballpark on Sunday?
So we will be front and center right at the entrance. You'll probably see me personally ask you if you want to wear a purple ribbon sticker. We have some fun giveaways where we have some survivors attending with their kids. They'll probably be out there doing the goat race on the field. And then, we have the opportunity to just say a few words at the beginning with our partners from Interval House, the Network to End Domestic Abuse, and Prudence Crandall Center. So we'll be there throughout. You'll see me in a Safe Connect t-shirt. You won't be able to miss us in terms of our purple outfits. So you'll be able to find us for sure.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. This is Face Connecticut, and we're just getting started here. As I had mentioned, we have Domestic Violence Awareness Month coming up in October. Now, we launched into the show talking about the event, but I'd like to kind of dial things back a little bit. Why is October so important for this particular cause, domestic violence awareness? Because there are a lot of people who deal with this. 1 in 4 women, I know, is the latest statistic that I've heard on this particular issue. And so this is something that more and more people should know about, but I think that there are still people that aren't fully aware of the importance of domestic violence awareness, prevention, things like that, Megan.
Yeah, so October is really meaningful to us, like you said. It's an opportunity for us to raise awareness about the issue across the state and really provide people with an opportunity to educate themselves on the signs of unhealthy relationships that they may be in or they might know somebody that may be in. But also, if there are those signs, what resources are out there? So like you said, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. In Connecticut alone, we serve a little over 40,000 individuals a year. And we know that we're not reaching everybody that's impacted by this issue. And we've seen an increase in the amount of children in the state that have been subject to domestic violence, either indirectly or directly. And we've certainly been partnering with our partners on in the Office of the Child Advocate, because the child fatalities related to domestic violence are of a big concern for us over the last 2 years. So it's really, we encourage people, if they don't know anything about it, to go to our website, ctcadv.org. We have so many resources on our website, or if they're really in immediate need of help, to go to CT Safe Connect. They can call, email, text, or chat. The phone number is 888-774-2900.
So for somebody who's listening, maybe later they'll go to the website and check out all of the resources there, and there are plenty. But I'd like to talk with you, Megan, about some of the characteristics of a relationship that might be headed toward or already in a state of domestic violence. So what are some of those warning signs? We hear about abuse, control, things like that, maybe even violence. But could you talk about what that specifically looks like?
Yeah, so it's really important for individuals to understand that domestic violence is a pattern of controlling, coercive behavior that's used to establish power over another person who's often a family member, spouse, dating partner, or intimate partner. So then the way in which power and control is maintained is by using different types of abuse to instill fear, maybe destroy confidence, remove access to resources. So the abuse can be physical or non-physical, and those tactics can be directed directly at the victim or at other family members, at children, at pets, in an attempt to control the victim. So we often, will certainly educate folks to say, look, every relationship is different, and recognizing domestic violence can be difficult, especially we recognize that it's oftentimes someone that you really care about that is behaving in this abusive way. So we often try to just educate people on the common signs. One being isolation. That's a really big red flag if an individual is isolating you from your support systems or your friends or for family. That's a really big one. The other one that we see often is using technology to monitor location or requesting access to all of your passwords or social media accounts. We see financial, where they might refuse to provide money or are controlling the income that you are earning coming in. Obviously, there's physical, which can be hitting, pushing, choking, and other forms of physical abuse. And we see a lot of emotional and sexual abuse. So emotional being, you know, stalking, jealousy, harassing text messages, limiting, you know, who you can communicate with, you know, calling friends and family, calling your work sometimes or your school to try to make people think that you're, you know, either not doing what you're supposed to do or you're mentally unstable. And then the last one would be, you know, forced or coerced sexual activity. So those are the big signs that we try to educate folks on.
Well, there's definitely a lot going on there, and I'll take it a step further here. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and she's Megan Scanlon from the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence. They're holding an event on Sunday the 7th at Duncan Park. Be there at noon for the final home game of the season. You can learn more about what they have to offer in person. But we're also having a conversation about it here on Face Connecticut. So my next question for you is, what do you do about it, right? You know, there are, I guess, two different categories here. You could be the victim yourself, or you could know somebody who might be a victim. So let's break that into two parts. So let's say that you are the victim. That's a tough, that's a pickle. That's a tough situation to be in. You know, maybe you're too afraid to stand up to the abuser or seek help, or you are at the point where you do want help and don't know quite what to do, how to get there.
Yeah, so I think the first thing to know, if you are in that state of being a victim, one of the things that often happens is your abuser will make you think that you have no resources or no support systems and that you very much are alone. The biggest thing to remember is that you're not alone. Even if you have no access to your support network anymore, we have a statewide network that is free, safe, and confidential. We have over 400 advocates across the state that this is what they do every single day, and they're going to believe you, and they're not going to blame you for it. So I feel like the two biggest things that I often try to tell survivors is, like, A, you're not alone, and B, it's not your fault. And that we will then work with you, starting at those two starting points, to figure out, like, how do we keep you safe? What do you feel comfortable with doing? Leaving is not always the safest option. So we safety plan with individuals and provide them access to other resources so that we can get you safely to whatever goals you may have in terms of leaving that relationship or leaving that family member. Our dating partner. So that's the first thing. If you're a bystander, please get to know us and get to know our resources. Go to ctsafeconnect.org, go to ctcadv.org. Just know where you can help guide somebody to. That's all you need to know. You don't have to be an expert in the signs of domestic violence or know anything about how to handle the situation. You just have to know how to connect them to the resources, and that's it.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. And my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, as far as you have talked about, like, you know, leaving and getting help, is it possible that early on in a relationship that might be turning abusive but hasn't become anything too drastic, but somebody has concerns, is it possible therapy or something like that might be an option before you start looking at more serious approaches to dealing with domestic violence?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we believe that, you know, perpetrators of violence can absolutely change behavior. I think the biggest things to think about when you are possibly approaching, you know, your partner or dating partner or family member around that is a couple things. Can I voice my thoughts without fear? So can I do that? Are there times when I set boundaries with that person, but they cross them anyway? And what happens if those boundaries are violated? And then the biggest thing is, does my, you know, family member, partner, friend, whoever, do they take responsibility and accountability for their mistakes, or are they constantly blaming others or being dismissive? So I think if you can answer confidently that, yes, you can voice your thoughts without fear, boundaries are respected, and there is some accountability there, I think there's probably a path there. But if you can't answer yes to some of those things, then I think you'd want to think about how you might want to approach that and if that is the best approach. And certainly our advocates can talk you through that. You know, we certainly can guide you through that. So it's certainly an opportunity to get some advice too. So you don't necessarily have to enter services just to kind of call and see, hey, you know, this is what's going on. What are my options too?
Let's talk about kids and teens. Okay, so maybe they're seeing the behavior at home, or maybe they themselves are starting to enter into relationships, particularly teens, and they don't exactly know everything that that they probably should know about relationships and healthy relationships, I should note. Are there any programs available to teens, or do you ever reach out and talk to young adults or teenagers?
Yes. So we have, across the state, we have what we call community educators, and they go into the school system and they try to teach at an age-appropriate level, depending on the ages that they're in front of, what makes up a healthy relationship. And then if they do find themselves in an unhealthy one, how to connect to their local resources. I think the interesting thing about this is when I talk to survivors and also have had the opportunity to talk to some offenders, they all actually have the same answer when I say, like, what is the one thing that you wish you would have received to not be in the situation you're in? They both answer, I really wish I would have had either a model of a healthy relationship or education on what a healthy relationship is. So we try very hard across the state to make sure that we're active in the communities, that we're reaching teens and youth, and certainly that we're keeping up on how technology and especially social media is impacting dating violence, because that is, as I'm sure you're aware and other parents are, a big factor in how dating violence is occurring now is over social media.
How have you guys had to pivot because of social media? I mean, from the last time that we talked, which I believe was possibly as far back as 2 years ago, Megan, boy, time flies.
Yeah.
How have you guys been dealing with social media? Now we've got AI on the rise and in more use now than several years ago. You have schools that are trying to grapple with maybe even banning phones during the school day, which has been met with some resistance, but also has been welcomed in some cases. So, I mean, so many things changing as far as tech is concerned and our young people in society. How are you guys following all of those trends?
We actually have a group of teams called Partners in Prevention that we work with to actually get their feedback and use their feedback as to how we should be talking to youth, how we should be talking to teens, like what are the trends. So that's been really helpful to the work that we've been doing in the communities across the state, is to be able to have really honest conversations about teens. I mean, I think they'll be honest with you that a lot of their social interaction happens across social media, especially TikTok. And, you know, they'll be honest about sort of what the trends are in terms of healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships. An example of this from last year that kind of was surprising to me was there was a big viral trend on TikTok about like cheating on your boyfriend or girlfriend. And that was, you know, considered cool. So that like started to happen across, you know, their peer groups. And so we talked about, okay, how can we, you know, counteract that? How can we, you know, send the message that that's like not a healthy thing to do in a relationship? So we came up with ways that they could work through their peer groups to be able to counteract that. So honestly, I think the biggest resource that we have is actually listening to young people and youth who are using social media and who are living, you know, and operating in this world very differently than, you know, maybe how I grew up and how you grew up. It's not going away. So we're going to have to continue to just, you know, evolve and pivot. Another thing is very popular. Friends will share their locations. So they'll just like share their locations with each other so that they can just go on there and see where they are. That can be really innocent. But if you're in an unhealthy relationship, that can be a way that that person is checking up on you. So we try to work with teens and youth and try to educate them on when that is healthy and when that's not healthy, when they're crossing a boundary and when they're holding a boundary. So those are just some examples.
Megan Scanlon is my guest on Face Connecticut. She is from the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence, CCADV. Megan, in our final few minutes here, is there anything else, any other update from your team that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think the only other update to know is that all of our services are free, safe, and confidential. We really, really are very passionate about keeping people safe and making sure that they are making healthy choices for themselves and their family members. And, you know, anything that folks can do to support that moving forward, you know, we certainly have been impacted by some of the federal funding issues. So we are certainly looking for anybody to give, you know, $1, $5, $10. They can donate online at our website, ctcadv.org. And then finally, if you do find yourself in a situation or you find a family member or loved one, just please do not hesitate to reach out to our 24/7 statewide domestic violence resource hotline, CT Safe Connect. Like I said before, you can call, text, email, or chat at 888-774-2900.
I also want to point out before we wrap up, and we will go back to just more quick details on the event at Duncan Park, but I want to point out that you have other events too. I'm just glancing at the website. There's a Train the Trainer, which is for police only. You have other programs that are for people of basically any community group, all are welcome. So just tell people about the events that you guys might have coming up or how people can learn about some events that you'll have as we go through the final months of the year.
So we have a training institute that runs throughout the year. We work with various different interest groups, from our own advocates to our law enforcement partners to our clinical providers in the communities and certainly other community providers. So we're always running trainings. You know, you can certainly check the website. Some of them are for specific groups only, like you mentioned, but a lot of them are open to the public, and we encourage community members to sign up for them. It's a great way to better understand the dynamics of family and intimate partner violence and how they can show up in your communities and what you can do about it. And then certainly, you know, we will be actually also at the Hartford Marathon. So come and see us there. We'll have a table for any of the runners or walkers or, you know, just folks that cheer people on. We'll be in Charity Village. We will have a booth there. We'll be able to provide any information, giveaways, all of that. So that's coming up in October as well.
All right, Megan, I really appreciate your time. And of course, on Sunday, September 7th, it is the third annual Domestic Violence Awareness Day, and that'll be at Duncan Park, and you'll be there throughout the park, right?
Yes, I will. I will be there.
You'll be there starting at noon, of course, for what is the final home game for the Yard Goats. Can't believe it. It's that time of year already, and game time at 1:10. Megan, I thank you for coming on Face Connecticut with us this week. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Megan Scanlon, Chief Executive Officer at the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Again, third annual Domestic Violence Awareness Day at Duncan Park, the Sunday, September 7th. Make sure you check them out if you're at the park.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.